Well, good morning, class. We're so glad that you're with us today. We're so glad to have Miss Lorraine back. From Arizona, and I don't know why she came back. For sure. So, but we're glad you're here. Miss Paula will be over shortly. And we started teaching and preaching last week where Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy there, 1 and 6, and he said, I'm just going to paraphrase, he said, get stirred up, Timothy. Yeah. Get stirred up. We're going to talk about more of that. Actually, that's what we dwelt more on Friday night than we did Thursday morning, about getting stirred up. Or stirred up, and that's what we're kind of titling this, getting stirred up. You know, there's one thing to get stirred up. There's another thing to stay stirred up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, did you get that?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you some startling figures, okay? When people say, go on a diet, okay? They want to lose a lot of weight. Boy, they hit it vigorously. They start eating nothing but carrots and broccoli and all kind of green stuff, and they don't eat donuts and they don't eat this. And, boy, they're in the gung-ho. They've bought all the equipment. They're in the Weight Watchers. They're in all the other ones. They're down at their recreation center. They're going strong. Boy, they're just losing some weight. And, wow, boy, all of a sudden you realize, man, we've lost some weight here. And within 3 years... there's only 3% of everybody that ever started one of those that's continuing that lifestyle. There's only 3%.
Yeah.
So, diets don't work.
No.
Now, don't tell Weight Watchers that, and don't tell me that, because we're back in the saddle again for the next 31 days before we leave for Greece. And so we're in a very strict mode of eating right now, okay? What was the other one I read? Exercise was another one. Buy all the equipment. Buy all the things that you need to get. And in a matter of a year or 18 months, there's like another, it's only like 3% that is still exercising.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's hard to
stick. So it's one thing to start and not finish. It's one thing to get stirred up about losing weight or exercising. It all starts a lot of times at the New Year's, and we see Marie Osmond going out, and she's, what, 65 years old? She looks like a 19-year-old, and I'm thinking, this is not right. And Donnie and all the other ones that do it, and they're selling their products. And I'm not saying, listen, believe me, I am the testament. It does work. But I'm gonna turn the page. It has to continue working.
Yeah. Yes.
And the only way it does, it becomes a mindset and becomes a part of your life. So it's one thing to start, but you got to finish. And that's in anything in life. I mean, but we can start here. We don't have to stay here. So, you know, the old Chinese proverb says the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's one thing to get stirred up. It's another thing to stay stirred up, okay? So when I get through with the part of... Was that me?
No.
When I get through with the part of being stirred up, we're going to turn the page and we're going to talk about how to stay stirred up. How do we feed the fire? How do we fuel the fire? What are the things that we need to do personally, spiritually, to keep things going that we're stirred up, okay? But first of all, we got to settle in our mind that it's the will of God for us to get stirred up. It's the will of God for us to do better, okay? It's the will of God for us to get as much as God as we possibly can. You know, someone made the statement that we have as much of God as we really want. Because nobody's stopping you. There's nobody stopping you. So we got as much of God as we really want in our life. There's no one to blame except for us. We've been stirred up about this, okay? It started before we ever started teaching. And I have found myself since this that I've been stirred up more. Yesterday, right in the middle of the day, I told Paula, I said, Paula, I'm going back to my back bedroom and I'm going back there to pray, okay? I'm gonna go back and pray. And I went back and I told Google to turn my Bethel radio music on, and she had it set at a sound. I said, Google, turn. I love all this new stuff. I said, Google, turn the music down 15%. She just listens to me. She does better than Gracie. I mean, she just listens to me. You know, does exactly what I want to do. Okay, and I love that. And I just sat there and I began to pray over the class. Like this morning when I came out and I got a fire going at 7 o'clock, turned the heat up to 70. Okay, I started it yesterday. We turned it up from increments of 63 to 66 to 60, maybe it was 67 this morning. And I turned it up. Why? Because I want y'all to stay warm. I want y'all to be warm. I want to be conducive. I want to be an environment here that we don't have to be thinking about when my feet are cold and I'm cold and the fire's not going and yada, 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 okay? All this has to have planning to do. So it's one thing to start. It's another thing to finish. There is a scripture and in the Bible that says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, okay? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And I'm just trying to whet your appetite when we go into the move of God this morning, the Spirit of God moving, that we will continue that. And we will walk. I just heard that Holy Spirit. Praise God. I think I've got that in my notes. There's a scripture that says, walk in the sparks of your own fire. Something like that. I love that. Walk in the sparks of your own. I can't get ahead of myself because that's part of my other notes, okay? And so we'll leave that one alone right now. I want to go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. We've been quoting this since we were able to quote scriptures. Ever since we were able to say anything about the Bible, we could quote this first verse. And it says, in the beginning. I like what someone said, in the beginning.
Oh, that's good.
In the beginning, like a baseball game. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As I told you last week, we are not going to get in a theological debate on what happened between verse number 1 and verse number 2. We're not going to do that. I mean, all the studying that I'm doing about these verses and the moving of God and the Spirit of God and being stirred up, when I read this story here and study this, then I go into the commentaries and what men want to say, there's this major argument over verses 1 and verse 2. We're not going to get into that this morning, you know, at all. We don't, really, as I told you last week, it has nothing to do with your salvation. It really doesn't. It may have something to do with your theological approach, the hermeneutics and the homiletics of the Bible. It has nothing to do with you being as a follower of Christ, okay? So I love what Paul said. Do not, I'm going to paraphrase it. Don't get bogged down in vain philosophies of men. Just arguments about, well, this, this, and this. No. So, verse number 2. And this is what we're going to talk about today. Verse number 2. And the earth was without form, okay? Do you get that? The earth was without form and it was void. And void means there was nothing there. Okay? Void of understanding. I know a lot of people like that. There's just nothing there. You know? Void. Void. It means there's a vacancy. There's emptiness. There is nothing there. It's void. It is without form and it is void, okay? It is void. I'm stressing that for a reason this morning. And darkness, and was upon the face of the deep. So get the picture this morning. I don't know if you can get the picture. I don't even know what would that look like. Just if we looked out, just like God did. God stood on the corner of nowheres in no time, in a place of nothing, stood on the street corner and looked out, and he saw this. He saw this earth. There was no form. It was void. And it was nothing but darkness, okay? Okay? And the Bible said, darkness was upon the face of the deep. There's two faces in this verse. Two faces, okay? The face of the deep, and then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Face of the deep, face of the waters. Now, we could go into a lot of theological rhetoric this morning about this verse, okay? Well, what does it mean? Earth was without form. What does it mean it was void? What does it mean it was darkness upon the face of the waters or of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters? There was nothing. I think we would be correct that there was nothing but chaos. Everybody get that? There was nothing but chaos. There was, when chaos, Venezuela is in chaos right now, okay? And that what that means is there's a struggle on who's in charge. There's a struggle on who's going to be our leader. There's no ruling factor. Do you get what I just said? When your life is in chaos, there's no ruling factor. I just heard this, Holy Spirit. Thank you. The book of Judges may have ended with this along this line. Because there was no king, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What does that mean? There was no ruling factor. There was no dominion. There was no one ruling them. So when we read verse number 2, there was nothing ruling this chaos. It was void. It was dark. It was wasted. It was chaos. It was without form. And the Bible said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Did you get that? Did you understand this now? The chaos. If I can paint this dark, dark picture, the chaos. It's dark. There's nothing there. There's no form. There's nothing. There's no ruling factor. It was like an ocean out of control. It was waters out of control. It was total chaos. And that's why when you're studying you're studying the Pentateuch, okay, you'll study the chaotic period. And that's what this is called, the chaotic period. When Adam came to reign, it was called the Adamic or Adam, the period of Adam, okay? The Adam period, the Adamic period. Then it goes into the flood, okay? And that becomes the Noahic or Noah, and it's always ended like N-O-A-H-I-C, Noahic, okay? The Noahic period. So there was several dispensations here in the book of Genesis, because in the very first verse, in the beginning, Genesis is the book of beginnings. So that lets me segue into this. It is the first time we ever hear the Word and the Spirit of God. I love that. And not only was the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God moved. That's a verb. There was action taking place with the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. If you could get this morning. I mean, I just felt cold chills all over me, because wherever the Spirit of God is, there's a verb attached to it. And that verb is, there's something happening. There's something moving. There's something taking place. That's why we're desperate for the moving of God in our church today. And let me say this, more than ever, America is desperate for a moving of God. Yes. Let me say this, our president, our judicial system, as we watched that unfold yesterday, and I didn't sit down and watch it, but I saw glimpses of it. How can we believe a convicted felon? Oh my goodness, it's just nuts. I mean, scripted by ungodly people for him to say what he said. It's so, why? Because chaos. No ruling factor. No Spirit of God. No form. Darkness. Darkness. Oh, isn't that the face of this situation? But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God. See, when we're in our most chaotic times, the Spirit of God can come to us, okay? So let me break down the word, the Spirit of God, okay? The Spirit, the Rapha, the breath is what that means. The wind. The wind, okay? When I want to say the Spirit of God, I could really say the wind of God, okay? The wind of God, the breath of God, okay? And he's blowing over this water. So, Robert, that's really hard for me to believe. Well, Sandy's already alluded to it this morning. When Jesus was in the hinder part of the boat, and the winds were blowing, and it was the waves were rocking, Jesus stood up and said, "Peace! Peace! Be still." And the wind stopped blowing, and the waves settled down like a baby going to sleep. And they said, "Never as a man ever spake like this before." He learned it from his father. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine in eternity, when Jesus was saying to his father, "Father, tell me about the creation. Tell me about how you created the world again. Tell me how it took place." "Well, son, let me tell you, let's go back." And he said, "I've got to take you all the way back to the time of the Antediluvian." That's another word. That's the Antediluvian age, when there was darkness and there was no... He said, "Let me tell you what happened." He said, "I looked out from nowheres into nothing, standing on a street corner of nowheres, and I breathed." Well, Jesus is in the hinder part of that boat, and he says, "Well, if it worked for my dad, it'll work for me." And he stood up and he said, "Peace! You lay down there, wind. You lay down there, waves." You know what they said? "Huh, I remember his dad telling him this thousands of years ago, and we better do what he says to do." Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you something about the waves and the winds that you face in your life? These things that he done, greater things shall you do, because I go away. When was the last time you spoke to the winds of controversy or the waves of doubt that were crashing in on your life? Lorraine, when that happened in Arizona a few weeks ago, total devastation, total chaos, total misunderstanding. The big "why did this happen" arise. If we would have succumbed to those waves, it would have drowned you in sorrow. But I knew there was a little short, I didn't really say gray-headed woman, there was a little short woman down in Arizona that stood up to those children and those parents and said, "Peace be still. There's a God greater than disaster. There's a God bigger than your problem. There's a God greater than automobile accidents. There is a God that I serve." Because let me tell you why. Because many, many years ago, when Daryl was so sick and Daryl passed away and went into glory, at that time, Lorraine, at a young age, probably that same wave of death began to try to drown you. But you knew what happened years ago, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you was able to stand up again and say, "Death, you will not rule over us." That's what I'm talking about. We have the power because God is... I can't get ahead of myself. Praise God. I'm stirred up this morning. I'm stirred up about the power of God that we have inside of our lives and who we are. If you ever realize, oh my goodness, the authority that you have inside of you, being a child of God, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to change your life forever. So let's get to this. And the Spirit of God, the breath of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the very next verse, I wasn't going to go there, Dom, but go to the very next verse. And the very next verse said, and God said, he breathed. There's so much revelation coming out. It's about to blow me up this morning. There's this one moment that it was nothing but chaos. The imploding of wind and currents and torrential power and deep and nothing's formed and it's just casting and throwing. And to beat all of that, it's in the darkness and you can't, there's nothing. It's just total darkness and all this is going on. The Spirit of God breathed upon that chaotic time. And the very next verse said, and God said, let there be some light. Yeah. I'm telling you, you got to get this morning. Once you stop the chaos, the revelation can come. Because that's what light means, revelation. Not in this verse, but the entrance of his word bringeth light. When you get the chaos stopped in your life, you've given God an avenue that revelation can come. But as long as chaos is ruling, revelation cannot come. No, when chaos is ruling, you're depressed. I'm in doubt. It'll never happen. It'll never take place. I'll never get out of this. I'm in the worst trial of my life. I'm in the darkest hole I've ever been. Oh, yes. You're just one verse away from revelation coming. You hear what I just said? You're one verse away to the light coming, and there was light. Hallelujah. Oh, but Robert, you don't know how dark it is. I want to tell somebody this morning, there's a light coming. Somebody said, Robert, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to tell you this morning. There may be a light at the end of the tunnel, but it ain't the train. It's revelation from God, because the entrance of his word bringeth light. We are the children of light. We don't live in darkness. We don't act in darkness. We don't walk in darkness. Read little John's. We're walking in the light because we are in the light and we glorify our Father. It brings great pleasure when his children are walking in the light. So when people are constantly saying, I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't know how to get out of this. Don't be saying that. No, stop the chaos. Stop the storm. Peace be still. And then revelation comes. Revelation will come. Light will come. But as long as you're dwelling in the chaos and all you can see, oh my goodness, there is something happening this morning. I wish Paul was here, or Don, somebody could find it for me. Rita, maybe you can find it. The Bible said, are y'all ready for this verse? Men see not the bright lights that are in the clouds. Now let that one soak. Men see not the bright light that is in the clouds. It may be in Job, I don't know. Read it.
Job 37.
I knew. 21. See, I know stuff. Job 30 what?
37.
Don, throw it up there real quick. Job 37 and 31. 21. Men see not the bright lights that are in the clouds. You know why? Let me tell you why they don't see the bright lights. Because all they can see is the clouds.
Yeah.
All they can see is what happened to me.
Yeah,
all they can see is what's taking place. All they can see is what I'm going through. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to get stirred up.
Yes.
You need to get stirred up. You need to get stirred up. You need to get stirred up. Here it is. And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Praise God. Did you get what I just saw this morning? Oh, let me tell you what'll drive the storm clouds out of your life quicker than anything else. The wind. And what did we say? Blowed on the chaos. Come on and help me here this morning. What blowed on the chaos?
Breath.
Because in Genesis 1:1, the spirit means rough, or breath. Breath. There it is. Oh, the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God moved. That word, okay, let's move on to the word moved, okay? That meant brooding, the brooding Spirit of God. In the original Chaldean, it was several words that we talked about maybe Thursday morning, Friday night. The word brooding, like a hen. Now you that was never raised on a farm, you think chickens just come like you find them at the hen house. Totally unclothed and their heads cut off. No. Yeah. Brooding. If every one of us can get this, all of a sudden, in chaos and darkness and void, and chaos ruling and nothing happening that was good, the Spirit of God, in another word for moved is the word overshadowed. The Spirit of God began to overshadow the chaos.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of God began to overshadow the chaos. Let me tell you something this morning about overshadowing. The Bible tells us in Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty this morning. Praise God. You know what David said? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Okay, can you see it this morning? Can you see my shadow? Can you see my shadow? Why do you see my shadow? Because of those lights. Those lights, those television lights that are shining on me, is casting a shadow. So if there's a shadow, there has to be an image. And when David said, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow, let me tell you, why? Because God was in the valley with him and casting his shadow. I'm just going to get in this room and stop because I'm about to blow up. In the book of Acts, when the move of God was so powerful and the move of God was so great, they had such a move of God that they brought all the sick people out beside the road. And as Peter walked by, the Bible said his shadow fell on them. Oh, hallelujah. And they were healed. Why? Because he had got underneath the shadow of God and the shadow of the Holy Spirit. And the shadow fell upon them and they were healed. Do y'all sense this morning?
Yeah.
Somebody's about to come out of chaos. Somebody's about to come out of that valley of darkness. Somebody's about to come out of that place that there was nothing there. It was void. There was no understanding. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why this is happening. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God's going to move on you. The Spirit of God is going to breathe on you. Oh, hallelujah. Don, come up here real quick. I'm going to use him there. Just keep the TV going. And I want you to come up here. The Spirit of God breathed, okay? The Spirit of God breathed. I promise, Don, my breath is good this morning. I don't want to use one of the girls. I'm going to use Don. See, for me get in front of the camera, for me to breathe on Him. I've got to be close to Him.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, yes.
For me to breathe. See, He feels my breath. Mm-hmm. I've got to be close to Don. Yes. I have seen. Now, don't go off and start another church. I have been in meetings. I have personally been in meetings where the power of God was so strong when mm-hmm. they were praying for people.
Yeah, growing.
They would breathe on them. And they would go underneath the power of God.
Yeah.
He said, Robert, that can't happen. It happened in the book of Genesis. When there was chaos and darkness and void, God said, I'm tired of this. And all I've got to do is breathe on it. And I've got to breathe on it. And I've got to blow on it. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be revelation coming after this, because it's going to calm down and there's going to be some things happening. Let me tell you, don't you underestimate the moving of God in your life. Do we need to have it? It's imperative that we have a move of God in our life. It's imperative that we stay. And how are you tying this together? Well, as you know, the word stirred up in the Greek means to be moved. The same Chaldean word over here is overshadow, brood, okay? Rough. I'm going to take it another step this morning. I was studying some more, and I came across another word, because there can be so many words here. And it was I probably won't be able to say it the way it's pronounced in the Chaldean, because it's a double hyphen or colon there. But I'm just going to say it. It's H-U-M-H-U, maybe W-N. I think that's how you spell it, H-U. And I want to say hum, but it's hum, 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 hum. I'm saying it just like the guy on the phone did. It's hum. And it means a powerful, exploding force. You talk about a big bang. Do I believe in the big bang theory? Oh, yeah. Because there was a big God stood on the chaos, and all of a sudden there was a big bang. There was a big explosion, a torrential, powerful explosion took place. And that's what that one, and it was another word, and it meant to stir it up. And another word, are y'all ready for this one? To agitate it. To agitate it. Now, y'all ain't ready for this one now. Because when you throw that clothes in that washing machine and you put wash, that'll agitate her. Begins to move and stir, and all that old dirt begins to break loose. I want to tell you, we need an agitating of the Holy Ghost in the church today to get us stirred up.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! I don't know how y'all I am feeling this morning. We need an agitating, stirring us up, moving us up, stirring us up. I was reading concerning, I just read it. I want to say it was, I think it was in Jeremiah. Where did I put my notes? It was in Jeremiah. It was actually Numbers 24:9. And we could go there, okay? You ready for this one? We're talking about stirred up here. We're talking about move of God going on in our life. We're talking about not getting stirred up, but staying stirred up. And we're going to get into that later on down the road on how do we stay stirred up. But look at verse number 9. Don, can you go to verse number 8 where we'll get a kind of fully, a better understanding there, and God brought him. Let's go to verse for you to understand what he's talking about here. Okay, let's go to 7. Maybe we can get it out of this. Okay. Oh, Jacob. I'm just going to stay right there, Don. Oh, Jacob, in thy tabernacles. Oh, Israel, as the valleys are spread forth, as their gardens are by the riverside, as the trees of of lion aloes, this like, you know, aloe vera. That's what that means there, which the Lord hath planted. Who planted them?
The Lord.
Yeah, God planted these. And as the cedars beside the waters, he shall pour the water out of his buckets. And his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag. Agag was the one they cut in pieces. And his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt as he had the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce through their through with arrows. Verse number 9, he couched. He lay down as a lion. Noticed? He couched. The next thing he did, he lay down as a lion. And then it says, as a great lion. And then look what it says. Who shall stir him up? Wow. Ask yourself the question, what's going to stir me up? Who's going to stir? You can be listening to, like an anointed word this morning, and I'm going to stir you up.
Yes.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
I'm going to get over here like a poker, and I'm going to poke you and prod you, okay? Because that's what I am called to do. I'm a poker. I'm a prodder. I'm a stir-upper. I am not here to make you comfortable. I'm not here to please you. I'm not here to appease you. I'm here to stir you up. Paul was sent to stir Timothy up. Because if, as we addressed last week, there was something going on that Paul had detected. And he had to remind Timothy, what's inside of you was in your grandmother, Lois. And it's in your mother, Eunice. And Timothy, the gift of God is inside of you. But you have got to stir it up. And remember last week we used that word stir in the Greek, and it meant a fire that is capable of going out. A flame that is capable of being extinguished. If you don't stir it up. If you don't stir it up. And it meant, remember last week, that Greek word meant a full flame. And I ask every one of our students Thursday and Friday, how big is your flame? Is it a pilot light? Or is it explosive? Are you on fire? Are you on fire about your love for God? Are you on fire about the kingdom of God? Are you on fire about the Lord's coming? Do you get on fire when you read your Bible? When you're praying, do you get on fire when you're praying? See, I'm not here just to mealy mouth and tip through the tulips like Tiny Tim would do. I'm here to stir you up. I'm here to move you into a greater place of walking and fleshing out your experiences with God. Oh, we have no time for lions to crouch and lions to lay down and lions to go to sleep. But we're at a time that we've got to be vicious. We've got to be vigilant. We got to be violent with our faith. Praise God. The Bible says that. So to get that, we got to be stirred up. We got to be like the moving, breathing upon. The face of the waters, breathing. I wrote it in my notes maybe yesterday, but I wrote this in my notes this morning, that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my spirit. Thank you. So if it's not by might, but we go to a big church, it means nothing. But we, you know, there's some power. Well, that's fine. But it's the Spirit of God there. Because, see, it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's the Spirit of God. I wrote this one down in the New Testament, or maybe I thought about this one. The Bible said that the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities. You better write that one down right there. The Spirit of God helps your infirmities. Well, I'm feeling infirmed. I don't feel good. You know, infirmed, infirmary, hospital, infirmities. You know, you see what I'm saying? The Spirit will help those. Get to praying in the Spirit. Get to walking in the Spirit. Get to singing in the Spirit. Get to talking in the Spirit. Get the word out and take God back. Say, God, I'm taking you back to the book of Genesis where you moved upon chaos. Move on my life. Breathe upon me with a holy hurricane. Breathe upon me, God. Well, Sir Robert, I don't know about all that. How powerful the breath of God really was back then. I mean, well, let me help you with something, okay? We could go on into the chapters of Genesis. And he got everything established. He got the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And he got the trees planted. He said, now I need somebody to have authority over these. Okay? The Bible said he reached down into dirt. That red earth. It didn't mean Adam was an Indian. You know? He reached down there. I don't know what Adam looked like. Probably about like what we look like. May have been a little bit more darker or redder because of where it took place. Because I've been in the very cradle of civilization. I've been on the Nile River. I've been right there to, which was Mesopotamia. I've been right there where the Garden of Eden was, should have been, okay? And over there, those people have darker skin than we got. It's a great chance that Adam did. But I can tell you one thing about Adam. I can't get ahead of myself. I can tell you what Adam did look like. He looked like God. Can I tell you what you look like today? You look like God. You look like God. Turn to someone right beside you and say, wow, you look just like God. You look just like God. I guarantee you Don Campbell has never told Sandy Campbell that. You look just like God. But let me tell you, we are made in the image of God. And I thank God we got a president on the night of his speech said at the very end that children that are being aborted are made in the image of God Almighty. I know I'm loud this morning, and forgive me for that. I don't mean to holler. I don't mean to be loud, but I'm excited. You see, if you was over at Arrowhead, that's the loudest stadium in the world, you wouldn't be, come on, Chiefs. Throw a touchdown, Patrick Mahomes. You're screaming. Your face is all painted. You're doing the Tommy Hawk chop. You got a headband on you. I mean, you're all excited. I mean, you're slapping high fives. Excited! Why can't we get that way about the kingdom of God anymore? Why can't we get that excited in the church anymore? Well, I don't think we need to be too loud. Don't go to heaven then. Because it's going to be a loud place.
Yes, I won't need my hearing aids.
Well, you don't need them when I'm preaching. It's a loud place because Daniel got a glimpse of him. And Ezekiel got a glimpse of it. And he said it sounded like many rushing waters. It was like waterfalls of glory and power and prayers going up and angels bearing down and cherubims with their wings. Oh, hallelujah. I done about preached myself in the third heaven this morning and letting you know that we can be stirred up. Stirred up. Stirred up. Stirred up. I don't even know where I was. So anointed this morning. Praise God. Excited about the kingdom. Yes. We look like, and he pulled Adam from, and I've got to quit because I just hit the big zero. Adam from the ground. And he created him. And he made him. But there was nothing there but a lifeless body. The hair may have been there. The ears were there. The eyes was there. The hands were there. The feet were there. But old Adam was just like, But all of a sudden, God breathed. Blowed on Adam. Resuscitated that lifeless body. And Adam stood up and became a speaking spirit. And let me tell you, we've been made in the image of God, and we should all be speaking spirits. Oh, how can somebody get excited about that this morning? I say, breathe on us, Holy Ghost. Breathe on this place, Spirit of God. Fall upon us, wind of the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands and praise Him for it this morning. Woo! My. Praise God. Turn to someone right beside you and say, wow, he is excited about the Spirit of God, about being stirred up.